evolving digital landscape, for your business to thrive, you must adapt or die. Welcome to Marketing in the Age of AI, the podcast helping you harness the power of AI and marketing tools to revitalize and grow your business. And now here's your host, marketing expert and author of Authentic Marketing in the Age of AI, Emmanuel Rose.
Well, hello and welcome to Marketing in the Age of AI. It's a lucky day. I get to talk with Christoph Trapp, who is a very experienced journalist and podcaster and hacker of AI tools. So, Christoph, welcome to the show today, and please give us an introduction.
It's been a while that somebody called me a hacker, but I mean, appreciate it. The sentiment certainly is right. You find ways to get stuff done and be more productive and produce content that's more effective and more efficient. So yeah, I'm a growth marketer, content marketer. I work for GrowGetter.io, a growth marketing firm in the market research space. I have the business storytelling show as well, which you were a guest on. So I really appreciate you coming on that a while back. And ChristophTrapp.com is my blog. And you know, I help companies tell better stories, make sure they're doing that as effectively and efficiently. I just mentioned this the other day somewhere. People talk about like get rid of writers, AI can do it, blah, blah, blah. And I can do a lot of things, but it can't write stuff from scratch. It can't tell my story, right, from my perspective. It can help me make it better. It can help me hack it up, you know, all those different things. But at the end of the day, you have to kind of make sure what you're doing makes sense and actually helps you stand out. So that's kind of what I focused on. My background is in journalism. Officially, I haven't been in journalism for quite a while, but a lot of the same techniques and skills still apply.
Yeah, and I think it's true what you're saying, that the AI is not going to replace the human because of what we bring in terms of that spark. I really like this idea that AI is going to help with SEO because it's bots writing for bots, you know, like that seems like a pretty good use. No, you don't agree with that?
Well, not the way most people use it, because what most people do is they go to whatever tool and they say, write me an article on whatever topic. And that topic now might be written with SEO best practices in mind. But at the end of the day, you have to remember SEO, the search engines, yes, they're bots, but they're not actually trying to help bots. They're trying to help people, right? So there has to be a human aspect in there. And I think all these AI written content pieces, they're just not getting there. They're pretty lame. I'll give you an example. When I send out a question, I think I can say this, you know, a question to people applying for a job. And there was one question I could tell who used AI and who didn't, because the people that used AI, it was literally the same. Even the people that edited it down, because it was like the same software that was mentioned in the same way, in the same order. So you're not going to stand out that way. However, going with your sentiment a little bit there, is your sentiment was that, you know, they're writing for machines. So if you have good source content, right, like this interview, like you're interviewing me, we're talking, blah, 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 that's the source content. Can I take that source content, put it through AI, and AI optimizes it for search? That is probably a more likely scenario. And maybe that's what you were talking about. But so that might work. Yep.
No, I love that. I love that. And I think source content is one of the things that people really miss the boat on. And that's what I love, is I've taken all my books, I've put them into avia.ai, and now I ask Claude to speak like me based on that source content. And the generation of things, you know, it's still, I'd call it a C+, but it's at least it's starting content for me, and then I can go in and clean it up and make it better.
Yeah, the whole thing, I mean, you certainly have a voice, I have a voice, but a lot of times people talk about, well, I want it to sound like me. And I'm like, you don't have a voice. Like, your writing is just like, it's pretty neutral or it's pretty stiff. Do you know what I mean? Or like, or you don't even, so the whole thing of like people's voice for the most part, first we have to come up with a voice, right? Like we have to know what it is. So yeah.
I love it. So are you using one of the generative tools on a consistent basis right now?
So I use what I use very regularly. In fact, today I've used already Claude AI. I've used Opus Clips. I used Otter AI. I haven't dived in there or whatever too much today on Otter. But so I've been in those tools. I have used the WordPress AI tool today as well. So I think that's maybe that's Yoast. I don't actually know which one that is, but it's on the back end of WordPress, right? It gives you ideas for like meta descriptions and SEO title tags and those kind of things. I think those might be the main one, but that's without even like, we're not even halfway through the day, right? Five tools or whatever, right there, just like that. So yeah, definitely. You know, I use these, I use them all the time. They help. No doubt.
And what do you think, how much time do you think it's saving you right now in your your personal marketing?
So it's interesting because I'm not sure it saves any time, but what it does, well, I guess you can look at it that way. It saves time because you can do more, you can do different things, right? So for example, now I'm looking at, oh, okay, I could write this thing. And back in the day, that would have been my week. And now it might be my 2 days. So you do make up some time on other sides of the coin, right? So like the Opus Clips editing video clips, you know, it's way quicker than I've ever edited anything, right? You basically edit text and then the text updates the video. I mean, that's basically how it works. It's like editing text as opposed to editing video. But I wouldn't have been able to do that previously, right? Like that's not my skill set. It would have taken forever. But you still have to do it. So there's still time you have to spend. There's still time you have to clean up things. When it comes to writing, you have to edit. So at the end of the day, you know, you just have to figure out what's your strength, what's not your strength. My favorite example, I think, still is Sidi Lamine on Inside Full Inspiration with Isabel Landreville. He said, if you have never done research before, and now you do research with AI, how do you know it's good? You don't even know what good AI, you don't even know what good research looks like, right? And so my point is, if you don't know what good writing looks like, you think crappy AI writing is good writing, right? So like you have to still know how to look at it, spend the time, edit it. And I'm telling you, editing might be easier than writing, but it's still a skill that people have to learn.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I like what you're saying. It's a lever to do more. And especially for us who are, you know, part of small teams where we're able to generate a content calendar and take a quarter of the ideas that we would have never thought of before and push those out or reference already written works or Opus Clips, which is amazing, right? It takes these big, long videos and it shortens them down. Still, there's work to be done like you're talking about. It starts it on my bald head looking down instead of on a full face or something. So it still takes the human intervention in order to make it publishable work. Yep. But it's I think it's a fascinating time and we're fortunate to have these new tools. Why don't you talk a little bit for me about what you're doing as far as prompt writing and what your prompt writing secrets are?
So I do actually have a number of prompts that I usually use in a lot of different pieces of content, you know, like, so for example, if I have a podcast interview, so I'm doing some shows, you know, even with your show, of course, I would just put it into Otter, then put it to Claude. And I just say, hey, what are some articles I could write based on this content? And then it gives me some ideas. And then I go in and then I will actually go figure out if there's any search volume, if there's anything I've written about that topic already, I might combine it with something else. So it always depends. But then if I have, let's play with this example. I have a podcast episode with some new content for an article I already have, but I totally forgot about that article. So I'm going in, I'm finding that article that I already have or a podcast episode or whatever. I might combine the two episodes, right? I say, based on these two episodes, please, you know, go ahead and give me a draft. Now, then I interrogate it, you know, like, is this correct? Did Christoph really do this? Is this what he said? Nope. AI does make up a lot of crap, to be honest. So you do have to pay attention to that. But I think it's a really good starter, just like as an outline, as, you know, validating keywords, validating those kind of things. I hit and miss on social. Like sometimes, you know, I'll say something like, you know, write me an engaging LinkedIn post. The opening headline should be, opening sentence should be kind of clickbaity, right? Because people only see it, blah, 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 sentence case. So you have to be very, very specific. I'll give you an example, actually. I was brainstorming some tagline ideas. So one person went into ChatGPT, I think, and they said, well, how about, I need a tagline for this. And they did it one time. And I did it like, I started in Claude and I like kept talking and talking. I was like, how about this? How about this? Yeah, no. Too lighthearted, too snappy, too this, too, you know what I mean? Like you just keep talking. And so you're brainstorming, except you're not brainstorming with another person. You're brainstorming with basically a machine. And at some point I got something that was actually used, that actually made it to market. And it took, you know, but it took, I don't know, 15 prompts, definitely more than one.
Yeah, that perseverance, right, to get through. And again, it's the human spark that's driving the tool versus just the tool spitting it out and not having to do any work about it.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Well, that's cool. Do you have any other ways that you are prompt engineering that on a consistent basis?
I think those are the main ones. Sometimes, you know, sometimes what I do is when, especially like, let's stay with the example I just mentioned. If I have, let's say I have a bunch of articles, or let's say I want to analyze, maybe let's go with this example. I want to analyze what the other high ranking articles are ranking for, right? So I will actually take my article and I'll put it in and I'll say, hey, this is my article. Now let's look at these five other articles that are ranking pretty high. What are they covering that I'm not covering? And then sometimes, you know, it tells you, well, you're, you know, this is one thing, this is another thing, blah, blah, blah. And I have to decide whether or not I want to add it, whether or not it makes sense to add into my article, or I don't just want to respin what they're doing. But if I have something to say about that topic, if I have a unique perspective, I might add it, right? So I think that's a very easy way to analyze like a lot of content really, really quickly. Every once in a while, like one other thing I did one time, I thought somebody was ripping off my content, and I still think they kind of were, but so I took their article, I took my article, I put them into Claude, and I said, hey, tell me how similar or different are these? And they said, oh, well, they're the same topic roughly, but they cover very different angles. So, you know, it's not, I mean, it is the same topic. So if you look at the article headline, you're like, yeah, that's my topic, but completely different angles. So probably not a ripoff, right? Like maybe the idea came from my article, maybe, who knows, but ideas can come from anywhere. And so, you know, I do that. I like to do that quite often as well. Look at different things, get ideas, you know, sometimes update content, those kind of things.
Yeah, I love that as a comparative for that. I'm curious how you ended up, because I'm sure you tested the other services besides Claude. So how did you end up on Claude? Like what drew you to that service?
So first of all, I mean, there's always a little bit of, you know, like, oh, what's everybody doing? Like, how do I not follow the crowd always 100%? So I think that's part of it, certainly, because I think ChatGPT does some of the same things. I don't know if they did them early on when I actually started doing it, but Claude was recommended by Christopher Penn, who shared with me how you can upload documents into Claude, right? And you can, so that was kind of like the biggest thing, I think, out of the gate. ChatGPT may have done that too. I don't know. Maybe if you pay for it. But I think that was the biggest thing. And now it just works fine. You know, I think it's a good tool. And, you know, once you have an incumbent, it's always hard for other companies to come back in there, right? I mean, I was just thinking about, oh, Grammarly. Didn't even think about Grammarly. So I've been using Grammarly all day long. You know, like 80,000 words a week or something go through there. Or maybe... Yeah, some, I mean, tens of thousands of words every week, you know, that analyzes. And I'm thinking, I'm like, how could Grammarly get unseated in my life? I mean, let's just be honest. How could it get unseated? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know, because it looks at everything, right? It looks at my emails, it looks at my Slack messages, my articles, no matter what I'm writing in. So at the end of the day, it's kind of like, how would it get unseated? Like, there's no way, right? I mean, there has to be something really unique. So just something to think about too. Once you're with a tool, whoever gets in, and if they're working and it's, and that does the trick for you, then there you go.
Yeah, that's interesting. It even works for B2B sales right now. They're saying, because everybody's doing their research first, 6 hours of research before they buy a new tool or get a new vendor.
Yeah.
84% of the contracts go to the first company that the person calls, right? So, you know, and then we know these stories from the toothpaste and the shampoo brands, right? Like, nobody changes any of that stuff unless they move houses or get divorced, you know, unless there's some other big changing event in their life. So, yeah, I'm with you on Grammarly. I love it. I also kind of geek out on the little weekly report they send about how many words and what percentage, you know, changes and all that stuff. So that's a fun one. Kind of an external validation also that's I kind of geek out on. Well, that's good. So are there any tools that you're testing right now that you haven't really put into workflow, but you're looking at?
Any tools I'm testing? What am I currently testing? I don't think there's anything currently I haven't mentioned already. You know, sometimes they just kind of pop up. They have to fix a... So I never just go after a tool, right? I'm like, oh, I need a new tool. Like, I always have to figure out what is the problem I'm trying to solve and how do I get there? So, you know, when I'm reading David Temple's comment here, have you ever used a mashup approach? In other words, write a prompt in one tool and take that response and use it in a prompt in another tool. I can't even think of a reason why I would ever do that. And maybe there is a reason. And David, tell me when you would do that. I'd be very interested to hear that. But I'm just like, why would I do that? Now, what I have done is I have used CopyLime. I don't use CopyLime too much anymore, honestly. But I've used CopyLime for like the outline, right? You just put in a topic and you're like, what should I talk about? And it's actually really good for that. And it's to the point, bulleted, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I don't use that for headlines, like at all. For headlines, my headlines are mostly written by me. You know, sometimes I get ideas, but from Ubersuggest, but I don't think that's AI driven. You know, just for search results, what people are searching for, and then I might go into Claude and get ideas on how to talk about on the podcast episode, maybe, or some questions, right? And then I go take the file, put it into Otter. But see, it's interesting too, because none of these things are even prompts, right? Like Claude is prompts. CopyLime is no, I mean, it's a prompt behind the scene, but I'm not saying anything to it, right? It just does it. Same with Otter. So it's kind of interesting to think about that. But yeah, I use them as they pop up. I use them as I identify issues, things that aren't working. Why is this so difficult to do? And then, you know, once I hit that point, it's pretty quick. I do not make a habit of just testing, because it could be like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it could be a full-time job, honestly.
For sure. There's new tools coming out pretty much every hour. Are there any resources that you go to go and like find AI tools, or do you just go into Google search, you go into Claude? How do you find solutions?
Yeah. The marketing artificial intelligence, Macon Marketing AI Institute, something like that. Oh my goodness. You know, you can check them out. They have a Slack channel. That's where I usually connect with people when I have questions. You know, and yeah, that's basically it. You know, you follow some of the news, you listen to podcasts. I think podcasts are an easy way to like stumble across things. And the reason I say that is because there's only so much time I think all of us can do active exploration, right? Like, we're looking at stuff and we can only look at one thing at a time, quite frankly, but you can have a podcast running in the background. So like, that's, I think, where a lot of ideas come from. They just kind of, you know, trickle in and seep in, and you can hear about something. And that might be one way, honestly, where there isn't something I'm searching, but it's like, it's just kind of like slowly, you know, coming into my universe. So I think that's another reason why people should be doing podcasts, quite frankly. Well, if you do a podcast.
If you it's on the rise, right?
It is on the rise, but do not, like, just be real. Now you can have synthetic versions of yourself, right? I mean, crazy if you think about it. You can clone your voice. It doesn't sound horrible. You still have to write the content. So I'm not so sure, Emmanuel, that it's easier for me to write the content instead of just coming on and talking about the content, right? I mean, like the stuff we just said, we've been talking about, I mean, how long would that have taken us to write up? Right? I mean, longer than 25 minutes. So.
Yeah, it's always the point that we have to do some work at some point. It can't all just be synthetic.
It's true. Yep. David, I haven't used any of those tools quite yet. But yeah, appreciate you tuning in. No worries.
Yeah, that's great. Well, good. So where do you think we're going to be in 12 months? What do you see in your magic ball?
In 12 months, that is maybe one of the hardest questions ever nowadays, because so AI came around, right? Like early last year, roughly. I mean, maybe late 2022, maybe, if, you know, December. And what's interesting to me is, I mean, that's like, what, 15 months ago now, right? Roughly 15 months. Who would have thought that this is where we would be today? I mean, I wouldn't have. And I went to some of these MakeCon conferences many, many years ago, and all of a sudden it just took off. And I don't know. We will see. We will see what happens. You know, sometimes you see an explosion of tools, and then you see consolidations of tools, right? So who knows if that's going to happen? You know, if nothing else, I hope it's going to be easier for content creators. I hope it's going to take care of all these bottlenecks that people run into in their companies and, you know, make stuff as easy as possible. And I mean, that's my hope. But how is it going to look exactly? I don't know. We will see.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat, which is there's going to be continue to be an explosion of tools. And we'll see if any, you know, how many of them are useful and how much human impact it takes to make them useful.
Yeah, and that's always the interesting thing too. Like you always have to look at the cost too, right? How much does it cost? What is the cost? How easy is it to test it? I am a big proponent of, you know, if you're going to try a software, you should be able to try it. I actually, you know, I get these outreaches all the time, and the worst ones, honestly, are the ones where they send you to like their page and you have to log in and like even sometimes put in a credit card before you do anything. And I'm like, I can't even look at this before I give you my money. That's crazy, right? I mean, like that is just like Grammarly. There's so many people use Grammarly, like the free version, right? I mean, the paid version is way better, in my opinion, and useful for what I need it for. But my point is, like, you have to be able to look at it. You can't just buy a rabbit or a cat or a dog in a bag, you know? Like,
well, I agree. There is some fundamental marketing that some of these companies have forgotten, and they've created a lot of friction. That's a whole nother topic about all the bad marketing that's going on out there. Another day, Christoph. I really appreciate your time and your insight, and thank you for taking some time to talk about marketing in the age of AI.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
You betcha.
Thanks for listening to Marketing in the Age of AI. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Your copy of Authentic Marketing in the Age of AI is available at Amazon.com or EmmanuelRose.com. You can also connect with Emmanuel on LinkedIn. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.